The first reading today, St. Paul says that we have been made a spectacle to the world, to angels, and to men. It hasn't really happened that much yet in America. It's happening all over the world. We know from group after group that pays attention to these things that Christians are the most persecuted group of people in the world. And it's going to be coming here too. You can count on that. But it just hasn't really arrived yet. Which means that we have an opportunity to do exactly what St. Paul tells us. That is, that he writes these things not to put us to shame, but to admonish us, to warn us, to prepare us. We can ask ourselves how we handle things. You know, he's looking at things and saying we're weak, we're without honor, we hunger and thirst, we're naked, buffeted, we have no fixed abode, we toil, we're reviled, we're persecuted, we're maligned, we become the refuse of the world. He's not complaining about that. He's just accepting that at peace, this is the way it is. Now again, put it into a context. So this is right at the very beginning of Christianity. There were not a lot of Christian people compared to the pagans. Technically, I guess we're supposed to be living in a Christian country right now, but there are more and more pagans every day. We're becoming a minority. And so we know, if that's the case, that we're going to be treated this way. So again, we have to ask that question, how do we handle this? Again, we can lay in bed and say, boy, if those things happened, here's how I want to handle it. And we can make ourselves the hero of the year. But is it reality? What do we do when people make fun of us? What do we do when people insult us? Do we sulk for days? Do we get angry? Do we seek out vengeance? Do we lash out? What do we do when that happens? If we can't even handle somebody insulting us, what are we going to do if we're weak, without honor, hungry, thirsty, naked, buffeted, no place to live? We're not going to handle that very well if we can't even handle a sliver in our finger. So it's these kinds of things that St. Paul's asking us to look at. And even what our Lord tells us. Again, think of the time. He says, do not be afraid, little flock. The time, yes, the flock was very small. That's where it's going again. It's going to be very small. So we first have to ask ourselves, am I going to be part of it? If things continue as they are, which they will, and things get smaller and smaller and smaller as Jesus becomes more and more inconvenient to people, and they walk away from him, are we going to remain faithful? And then even as we look at that, we have to say, okay, there's going to be just a little flock that remains. How am I going to handle that? How am I going to handle if my own family members turn against the faith and therefore turn against me? How am I going to handle if people I thought my friends turn away and then turn against me? How am I going to handle it if the government, they already did, but I mean, if they really turn against us, how are we going to handle that? Are we willing to accept whatever is going to come? The struggles, the sufferings, the difficulties, the persecutions, whatever it might be. And just look at what's going on, for instance, in England right now. Their prisons are so full that when someone is arrested for, literally, for rape or for stealing, well, we can't put them in jail. We'll just give them a fine. But amazingly, they have found room in their prisons for people who put things on Facebook that the government didn't like. Over 3,000 people so far this year So a rapist doesn't go to prison in England, but if you say something that the government doesn't like on your Facebook page, you can be arrested and put in jail. That's in England. It's happening in other places, and they want it to happen here. They're pushing for it. And sadly, there is a growing number of people who are also pushing for the same garbage. So what happens when Jesus is against the law? When the government decides that for you to speak the name of the Lord is going to land you in jail or worse? We'd like to say, oh no, that's ridiculous. That would never happen. If you have any friends in England, give them a call. It's happening, folks. And it's not just in England. Europe used to be Christian, used to be Catholic. America used to be Christian too. And so we're following the same path. The tragedy of what is happening, but the blessing. It's a question of how you look at it. So St. Paul is looking at these Corinthians and saying, hey, you guys are wise, you guys are strong, you guys are honored, you guys, oh, this is all right. We, on the other hand, well, you know, we're fools, we're weak, we're hungry, we're thirsty. And he's looking at this and saying, this is a great thing. This is a privilege. Do we see it that way? As Americans, we have not really had to suffer for our faith. And it's about to happen. Are we ready? St. Paul is telling us this as a warning. We need to be prepared, which means not let me think of what insult I want to be able to return if somebody insults me, but rather, how do I prepare spiritually? How do I unite myself with the Lord if and when this suffering comes? How do I accept this? How do I handle this? How do I stay at peace in the midst of this? These are hard things. But again, you don't have to go too far to be able to find where people are suffering for this. Look at Nicaragua, a Catholic country where people who want to be Catholic are now being persecuted, thrown in prison, killed, whatever the president down there doesn't like. Have any friends in Africa? Call them and find out what's going on there, especially in Nigeria where the people are just being mowed down. Nothing's happening because it's politically incorrect. So again, we look at what's happening elsewhere and we realize it's going to come home to roost. This is going to happen. Are you ready? You're going to be made a spectacle before the world, before angels and before men. In other words, you have an opportunity to be able to demonstrate what it truly means to be a member of Jesus Christ. Everybody's going to be watching. That's what it means, a spectacle. Everyone is looking at you. Are you going to be able to maintain your composure? Are you going to be at peace? Are you going to keep your focus on the Lord? Read in the Acts of the Apostles and see what St. Stephen did when they were throwing all this stuff at him. Look at what St. Paul did when they hauled him in before the Sanhedrin and before the secular court. Look at what St. Peter and St. John did when they pulled him in. We've got examples that are there. Of course, we have the example of our blessed Lord. Look at how he handled things. There was no lashing out. There was no calling names. There was no nastiness. They were at peace. They kept their focus on the Lord. That's what we're being asked to do, but that can only happen if we're keeping our focus on the Lord now, when we're not being persecuted. We've got to learn. Have to keep the focus on Jesus. The prayer life needs to be there. The focus needs to be there so that when the difficulties come, we're so accustomed to turning to the Lord that that's what we will naturally do. And hopefully we have become so conformed to the Lord that when we are made a spectacle, that's what people can actually see. They can see God shining through us. So the Lord told us not to worry when all these things happen. He will give us the wisdom that our adversaries can't beat. He'll give us the grace. So that's the promise that we have. But we have to cooperate with it. So think about those things. Look at what's going on and be prepared so that if and when this happens, you will be able to be the witness to Christ when you are made a spectacle before the world.